Hell Yes Life, episode 52. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. This is the place to learn how to profitably pursue your passion and purpose and live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday. And Hell Yes Lifers, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the HYL Club mailing list on hellyeslife.com. You'll get the latest episodes of the HYL podcast delivered straight to your inbox. Plus, you'll get exclusive tips and resources and links to bonus audio content that is only available to HYL Club members. Sign up on the homepage of hellyeslife.com or from this week's episode page right now. Okay, let's dive into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Lynn Singer. Lynn is an actress, renowned voiceover professional and voice coach, and also the author of a new one-of-a-kind multimedia project called Breaking Into Brilliance, An Awakening of Creative Consciousness. Lynn describes Breaking Into Brilliance as an interactive, animated, emotional online experience masquerading as a book. Breaking Into Brilliance uses storytelling, key dreams, art, and healing exercises to help examine limiting thought patterns and discover how the mind can heal the body and vice versa. There's even an interactive iJournal entry on each page to record your own responses, questions, and searching. Lynn created Breaking Into Brilliance because she says so many of us are miserable or stuck or reacting to life from old wounds. Breaking Into Brilliance is a gentle way to shake people loose and encourage them to take a journey to unleash their creative selves. On the show, we start off by hearing a story about Lynn's own experience of creative awakening, and we learn why she doesn't recommend doing it the way she did it. We then discuss how her awakening led her in completely new directions in life, as well as why and how she created Breaking Into Brilliance. One more note. With this episode, I also conducted a separate bonus mini-interview for HYL Club members, where we take a behind-the-scenes look at how Lynn went about creating the multimedia project that is Breaking Into Brilliance. Click on the links in the show notes and subscribe for free to the HYL Club for this exclusive interview. Once you're on the list, you'll automatically get access to all future bonus content. So sign up today. All right, let's dive into my interview with Lynn Singer.
I was in New York. Having left San Francisco, I went to Europe. I was in San Francisco at a very high time, and there was a huge amount of change in the world going on and in the country. And I then went to Europe for 6 months. When I came back to New York, I began working in theater. But I was at loose ends. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was. I was very, very young. And I, at the time, took some drugs. Marijuana was okay, but I did take acid twice. And the second time I took it, something happened where I barreled, like, out in a very short time. And in about 15 seconds, my life was completely changed. The bottom opened. All of the things in my life that I had to look at, deeply look at, which I had suppressed, which most of us suppressed in order to be in the world, I had to look at them. They were pointing up to me. their fingers in my face with such veracity. You know, the truth was coming out of me. I couldn't stop speaking. One friend said to me, I left one person. He had gone back to San Francisco to gather his stuff to come to New York. So I left one person and I came back to another. The top opened up. My creativity just exploded. It's like I looked at the stars and I felt like I could pull them down and make jewels out of them. This was very, 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 very scary. And it really took me years and years to integrate my new sense of reality. It was like I entered another dimension. At the same time, I was on stage 6 months later, which was my heart's desire that I had been fudging with. People were always handing me, putting scripts in my face, under my nose, demanding it when I was in college. And I would say, oh, okay, for a minute. But I was really scared of it, though I was dreaming about it and I wanted it. 6 months later, with all my anxiety that was really intense, I went on stage. I went into acting classes and I was getting a lot of attention very, very early. But I couldn't sustain it because I had to heal. And the healing process at first started with doctors, with MDs, but I eventually went to the alternative world where I entered into a whole new life of health and understanding. So this was my creative consciousness that exploded. I don't want anyone to do it the way I did it because it was scary. I'm very strong, I guess, or I don't know if I could have dealt with it in the way that I dealt with. But I have invented a way into us seeing ourselves differently with a lot of playfulness and a lot of questions. And a lot of ways to really explore who we are. This was like thrown at me. And when I, you know, had this, what they now calling a psychotic incident, it was literally thrown at me. I suddenly had to reinvent myself with this incredible weirdness that I was in. I really couldn't see the world the way I used to see it. And it wasn't happy, you know. So I've invented a way to go into that kind of high creative consciousness that I know many people long for. They don't think they have it. We all do have it. It's just a question of entering into it. And I would wish that I had had somebody writing this book for me before I had to venture into it the way I did. That's my story.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for sharing that story. That does sound scary, and yet it sounds like it completely changed your life and the direction of your life and everything that happened after that.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Tell me about that. Well, not to go too into that, since it sounds like it was, you know, kind of a troublesome experience, but did you basically feel like that completely changed who you were as a person? In other words, it wasn't just an 8-hour acid trip or something like that. There was something permanent that had shifted.
Absolutely. That's what I was trying to say. Maybe I wasn't clear. It was a complete revision. I said I became a different person in 10 seconds. So the me that, yes, when people met me, who knew me, they didn't see it. They might have seen I was nervous or that I was talking a lot more or I was asking questions about things I hadn't asked about. But it was very few people who really did what my friend David said I left one person and I came back to another person. Because I opened up the places in myself that needed to be looked at. The way we're looking at it nowadays, people do this kind of investigation. But I hadn't started that investigation yet. And it opened up my creativity. I could have done many, many, many things creatively because it was just pouring out of me. But the theater, acting, was what I wanted the most. And that's what I did.
So who were you before that experience? How were you different then?
Well, I thought I had made that clear in the story that things were suppressed. Things were suppressed. The problems were suppressed. I wasn't looking at them. I wasn't looking at, and I didn't even know how to ask about them. So they were not available to me. I wasn't really thinking about it. And the level of creativity that I opened to, I was very creative. I could do a lot of things, but it wasn't to the extent that this was happening. It was pouring out of me. I mean, I was writing all day. I could write script. People were, you know, talking to me about writing scripts. I was in class, in acting class, 6 months later, which I never would have done before. But my point about all of this is I have done a book to make this process available to people in a way that's wonderful, exciting, and playful.
So let's dive into talking about your book then. It's called Breaking Into Brilliance, An Awakening of Creative Consciousness. So how mm-hmm. tell us about, well, first of all, it's not just a book, is it? It sounds like a multimedia experience. So walk us through it a little bit. Try to help us imagine it.
On each page, almost each page, there's an animation. The writing, I've been told, is very poetic. There are eight, they're not really chapters, they're more what I call attractions. And they go from unconsciousness, which is where I was, not questioning things in a deep place, in a place that could change me, that could open my eyes to new things about myself and about the world. Why do we need this in the world? Why do we need that? What is equality? I mean, these kind of, you know, what is equality? What does it mean that only a certain amount of people are running the world and have all the money? None of these kind of questions were available to me even though I was very educated. My education was mostly in literature and art. So it was all from a literary place. It wasn't as real as it could be. So that's a part of what's in the book. A lot of questions to write about. A lot of questions. Every two pages, it opens to a little golden key where we open to a journal. And there's a two pages for writing, but there's also a visual, one of my visuals, that you can take out and put your visual in. I wanted music and I wanted film scripts. I wanted all sorts of things to be in this part, but it would have taken a year for the book to open. So each first page on each attraction is an animation, and there are many animations within that attraction, and they all move. They all move you to a space that's thoughtful, that's trying to wake up. That's what I really am trying to do. I'm trying to wake people up to their creativity. And thank you for asking me to walk you through the book. I love this. So this every two pages that opens to writing, some of the writing, and the writing is an answer of a question that's in the journal. I'm also voicing the whole thing. You can read it and you can listen to me, or you cannot read it and just listen to me, or you can turn my voice off and read it. And it's multisensorial, which I think is very important for us in order to understand our own creativity. So you're seeing visually. Let me backtrack here that my first editor said this to me. She said, your visuals don't just decorate the text. They're like a separate narrative that's working along with your text. So that's my intent, that people are inspired by the visuals to hear or see or feel something that maybe the talk doesn't show them. Now, most books are, and there are a lot of great books out for self-help, but this, I think, takes it another step with having a multisensorial way of being with yourself. People that are very visual will get it that way. People that are audio will get it that way. People that are more sensorial, hopefully that will come through. The only thing I don't have is smell. I don't have smell. I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But we have sound effects. So it's like a little film, and it moves from unconsciousness to freedom, unconsciousness to into the fire. You know, what's the event that woke you up? You might not have wanted to get woken up, but you did get woke up, and maybe you walked away from it. But where can you go a little bit deeper to look at how you are in your life? And then it moves into the journey outward, which takes you finally to the eighth chapter, eighth attraction, to freedom and the life, the freedom of rebirth, really. The very last page is about a birth. And that was an extraordinary day that I wrote about one of my godchildren. I was on the phone with their mother, and I hadn't spoken to her for like a month after the birth. And I could feel as if I was in the middle of the creation of the world, the way in which we were speaking to each other. This is a woman, by the way, whose dream promoted this book. This book came through a dream from my best friend who's in another country. And I had to take it very seriously because she has a very big third eye. And she put me on the road of writing this book. So, feeling that incredible aliveness, which is what I would like people, which is what I hope people will feel, particularly in that last page, an incredible aliveness and a connection to their intuition and to a multidimensional self, because we all are multidimensional. We've been brought up to be, unfortunately, I think, with our education to be two-dimensional. But we have this multi-dimensional being, our dreams. We talk a lot about dreams. In every chapter, there's a film that I discuss, that I write about, so that people can go and look at those films and look at it maybe with a different eye as to what I'm bringing up about the films. So the whole book, Breaking into Brilliance, is about an awakening of creative consciousness. You cannot walk across the street without your creativity. Everything in your body is creative. There are, I don't remember the number of the spine, whether it's 32, but whatever the number is, it is the number of Apollo's lyre. It is connected to the universe through myth, our spine. That gave me shivers just to say that. Mm. Kind of extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. So we're so much more powerful. We have within us enough energy to light the city of New York for a week or more. Mm. That's an astonishing thing to say. I don't remember where I read it. But I want people, you know, my incident that was so powerful and so scary opened me up to what I'm talking to you about. But I would have just been on the verge of it when I was young and when I was studying. I had these understandings when I was very young of other lives. I saw other lives. I saw them when we were sitting at the water one day when I was 15. I knew I had been sitting in that exact place sometime before. I mean, I had in my early teens these kind of senses. And I also had very powerful dreams that gave me a lot of information. But what happened was way beyond that. And I had to integrate it. And I had to bring it together in me. And it led me through acting, through teaching acting, voice, and diction. I have a degree in language. I lived with a young poet. I also have Richard Burton's Secrets of Language. If anyone out there knows, remembers who Richard Burton was. So I bring all that together in my teaching in the book. The book is all of the artwork I've done, all of the therapy work I had to do. And I think it's a good idea for a lot of people to investigate themselves. This is my way of showing another way of investigating. And it's all the spirit work, too, that I've been involved with, multidimensional work. So I'm hoping that people find it very playful, find it very strong, and very intoxicating. That's what I'm hoping for. And that's the kind of, if you go to breakingintobrilliance.com, you'll see people that have written about it. And they've written some very nice things about the way they talk about it that are... it's enlivening, and I think a bit enlightening, but I really want it to be enlivening, that people go, whoa, you know, I don't have to. If we sat down and wrote about how we live our life, just how we do things every day, I always use that frying pan on that burner, you know, I always put my socks on this way. If we would think about just doing small things differently, it would wake our creativity up tremendously. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know. I love what you're talking about there, Lynn. There's a lot of different directions we could go here, but I think that I love the journey that you're trying to that you're taking people through with your work. And I want to ask about this. So I just want to imagine that there's some of our listeners out there that are in this place that you talked about on your website, or I think maybe in the email that you sent, you said that there's so many of us are miserable or stuck or reacting to life from old wounds, and we're hopeless and resigned to our life. And so that's kind of that two-dimensional life, that kind of gray life that a lot of us live in. We're repeating the same routine all the time. And it sounds like your Breaking Into Brilliance takes people into that multidimensional sense of themselves. But talk about that. Talk to that person that's there in that place. You know, maybe they're stuck right now. And what could you say to them to maybe inspire them to move forward? No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I think that to move yourself into a multidimensional life, you have to start to ask questions. You know, the questions, and I don't want to put questions in your mouth, but the big questions can be asked. You know, why am I here? What is my life's purpose? Do I think about my life's purpose, or do I just live my life? Because I believe that we're all here for a particular reason. We're not just here to bide our time and have great meals, although that's wonderful, or see a wonderful film, although that's wonderful. I'm very involved in films and cooking and food, but we're here. We have a subterranean calling. There is some reason why. And it might just be, you know, when I look sometimes at the people that are working on the streets and that are changing the manhole and working with Con Edison. And I think, well, what is his genius? We all have our genius. And maybe somebody's genius is just that they have come in, not just, but that they have come in to put this particular child through college. Maybe that is what they're here for. They have a debt with this child from another life, and she's going to have a wonderful experience at the best possible college she can go to. Maybe that's your genius. Maybe there's somebody else who's going to investigate the world in a new way, in a new time, in a new way for the first time. There's many different ways in which we can be here. There's so many different ways. And I think we've been organized to think very small, to go into the workplace, and not to think about our vision. And that's what I opened to. I remember my mother saying to me when I came home from from Europe. I said, you know, not sure what I'm going to do now. She said, well, you're going to get a good job like me. And I remember I didn't even answer her. I just looked at her and I was like, no way. That's not what I'm going to do. Get a good job. I've got some ideas that are what I want to do. And I left for New York a week later and I was living. I had great luck. I was living with the first ex-wife of a star. And I called up and said, you know, I've been doing all this theater work and I'd like to get a good job, but in the theater. And I was doing that. I was working, designing and making costumes until this incident happened with me. And I just got on stage. I went into acting classes, but I was on stage within maybe 6 months. So the difference between getting a good job and the vision of what you really want for your life, that's what I want to break through with people. People have hobbies which they want to make their vision, but they're frightened to take the step. I remember, I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the great violinists, or maybe it was Horowitz, maybe a great pianist, who woke up one day in the middle of changing his life and saying, it's not about paying the rent. The rent's got to get paid, but life is not about paying the rent. Mm-hmm. And he went on, whoever this guy was, to become one of our celebrated musicians. Yeah. And that's what happened to me. I found this core in me of a place in me that I knew I was here for something stronger than I had been prepared for, stronger than my parents had prepared me for. I grew up with a lot of very brilliant children, and some of them did what they wanted to do. Some of them got stuck, whatever. But I wasn't, as a girl, also as a girl, you know, I didn't have that consciousness that of equality until maybe 2 or 3 years later. That happened. It was happening when I was in college, but it didn't really get into my belly. And so, but when this happened, I was like, oh wow, everyone's equal. Everything's equal. I'm going to get what I want now. And I remember saying that to myself, I'm going to get what I want. And that was very scary, but I did it. And now I'm integrated. I'm whole now. Took a while, but I don't want anyone to go through that. I mean, that I wouldn't wish that on anyone. So I try to find a roadmap for people to look for that core in themselves so that they know who they really are and what they were put on the earth to do, and to help them with the courage to go forward. I'm going to have chat rooms pretty soon. I haven't set that up. To help them with that courage to say, okay, the rent's got to be paid, but life is not about paying the rent.
Yeah, that is, I really love what you're saying there. And I think I've said it on the podcast before too, you know, like we get so kind of obsessed with money or making money or achieving a certain amount of fame or success in the outer world. But I like what you're saying here. I think you're really going inside yourself and asking yourself what that purpose is. And not mm-hmm. not from that external point of view of, oh, I need to, you know, win the Academy Award here and be famous. Right. But right. What am I really here to do? So are you saying that Breaking into Brilliance will take I don't even know what to call it now, a reader, listener, et cetera, through that process of discovery?
Yes. If they use the book well, it will bring them to another. This is what I've been told. People that have used it takes them to another level of who they are, you know, and that's all I could ask for, is that people become, you know, I'm not always happier, but at least I know what I'm doing here, and I can turn things around very quickly when I'm not happy and I'm asking myself questions and saying, turn this around. You know why you're here. You know what you've got to do. Get your feet into the ground. ground yourself. Breathing exercises are in every single chapter. Meditation, it moves, the breathing exercises move to meditation. And meditations are very, very powerful way to get unstuck. You know, because you brought up something very important. People get into a certain way of thinking, a mindset, and most of it, I think, with many, many people, is negative. We have something like 100,000. Is it 100,000? An enormous amount of negative thoughts a day. And how do we turn those around? Well, I think we can turn that around by turning ourselves around, by making a demand on ourselves that we be happy in the, like, I'm very happy talking to you right now. It makes me happy to speak to you. It makes me happy that people will be hearing this and know that they can shift themselves to be in the moment and find the blessings in the moment is very, very, very hard, I know. But it's the thing that I think we all need to master. And some of that mastery is through meditation, and maybe before the meditation, just deep breathing. Whenever you feel out of sorts, feel unhappy, feel angry about where you have to go to work, do some processing through deep breathing. And know that you can always get yourself out of the situation that you're in. There's always a way out. You have to sometimes have a very powerful connection to yourself, and that's what I hope the book is going to do, to find that way out. Visualization is a very powerful key. To see that end result of what you want, and to see the end, and then go back one step each at a time. I was given this in meditation, that you see the end, and then you see the step right before the end, and the step right before that, and then the step right before that, and then the step right, and then where you are. So where you are might just be, I have to make a phone call to a friend who mentioned that his company, which I thought was a really interesting company, might be looking for somebody, and they have to go to Arizona though. Well, I'm going to make that phone call. So that might be the first step to getting out to the perfect job or the perfect vision that you are looking for. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. Yeah. It's, getting a clear picture of that vision and then reverse engineering from there.
Exactly.
To where you presently are. And then working your way forward with a clear way, a clear path forward. I love that.
And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying you're going to be miserable some days. Believe me, I could track for you the days in which I don't want to get up. You know, that it's like I'm overwhelmed. There's too much to do. But I turn it around. Turn it around by meditating. I turn it around by mantras. I turn it around by seeing where I want to be. When I get that way, it's usually because I've had a very strong nightmare. But nightmares are calls to action. They are saying to us, this needs to change. People just go, it's a nightmare, I've got to get out of it, you know. And they don't want to really look at it. And they feel it can hang on the whole day. But I think if we start keeping a dream diary and track our dreams, go back 2 weeks before and read them, they'll become clear to you about what they are. And look up the symbols in the dreams. I dreamt recently, let's see, I'm trying to remember a symbol that I can't remember it. They're elusive. I'd have to go back to my dream diary. But I did have a dream where I could not quite figure out what the metaphors were in the dream, right? Like I dreamt one night, or I can remember this, part of a wall in my apartment was peeling. Mm. So a wall is coming down. A wall is coming down, right? Okay. Mm. That's very nice. But some people get nervous about any kind of a dream they have, unless it's a wonderful dream that shows them something brilliant or beautiful. They are calls to action, and they give you tremendous amounts of information. I love working with people about dreams. If you want to work with me about dreams, I'm around. You know, that's one piece that I haven't entered into yet, but I'm saying it out loud now for the first time.
Oh, great. We got a podcast exclusive here. That's great. Well, Lynn, I'm sure we could go on like this for quite a while. I love listening to you and your thoughts about all these things. I think we need to wind it down. I want to be mindful of your time as well. Where on the internet could we find you if you wanted to find out more about you and Breaking Into Brilliance?
BreakingIntoBrilliance.com is directly to the book. And there's also a minute opening, just a minute, so you can get a snippet of the book. Lynn-Singer.com is my full site where you can learn all about my teaching and my photography and the different things I offer. My podcasts are there. If you give me your email, you can see all of my podcasts and my blogs are there. And it also will show you, it'll point you to my voice work, Lynn Singer voice, LS voice works as well. So the book is breakingintobrilliance.com. The voice work, if you're interested in also would need voice, is LS voice works, and they're all under lynn-singer.com.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much. And we'll have the links you just mentioned in the show notes for this episode. So Hell Yes Lifers, go there if you want to connect with Lynn. So Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to connecting again in the future.
Thank you. I would love to do some more talk. Your questions were really, I'm using a very old-fashioned word, but they were pithy. And nobody has been so direct in their questions with me in the last months that I've been having interviews. So I really loved what you asked me. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll look forward to the opportunity to ask you some pithy questions again in the future.
Okay.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes Life.